last chapter in the Bible, the next to the very last chapter in the entire Bible is Revelation chapter 21. I want you to give me attention just a few minutes this morning, and I want to bring you a message, maybe a little unusual way I'm going to hit it this morning, but I believe it'll be a help to you if you'll give me attention and listen. Revelation chapter 21. And this is what's going to happen in the future. And it's a future, a child of God. If you're saved this morning, we know your future. If you're not saved, we know your future. Because we got a Bible here that tells us where we came from, what we're doing here, and where we're going. We don't believe the Bible. It's never been proved wrong yet. There's a man came one time, this guy, and he said, he was preaching the Bible, and he said, you people are crazy to believe that. He said, that's just so superstition, old religion. He said, you can't prove the Bible's true. He said, I can too. He said, you can't do it. He said, prove to me one verse in the Bible is true. That guy said, you really want me to? He said, all right. So he balls up his fist and he goes, pow, smacks that guy right in the nose. And he jumped back like that, and blood starts coming out. He said, man, what's wrong with you? You crazy? He said, you told me to prove one verse in the Bible. I just did it. He said, well, what verse does that prove? He said, the Bible said over there in Proverbs chapter 30 and verse 33, the wringing of the nose bringeth forth blood. He proved that verse is true. So, you don't want to find out the hard way that the Bible is true. You want to find out the easy way. And the easy way is just believe it. So look here in Revelation chapter 21, and we're going to show you what's going to happen in the future and where we, me and you, and everybody that's saved in this world is going. Revelation 21:1. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. It's all done. And there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself shall be with them, and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain. That's good news, people. It's in a hospital, people's in rest home, people's in funeral home this morning. No more crying, no more death, no more sorrow, no more pain. For the former things are passed away. I want to preach this morning on this subject. Since childhood, I have heard of heaven. Heaven is hundreds of times in the Bible. A survey said recently that most Americans still believe that there is something hereafter when you die and leave this world. Something in our mind, common sense and reason, a sense of judgment, tells us there's got to be a settling up day somewhere after this life. I've heard of heaven, as you know, from my mom. When I was that high, I'd run through the house, and my mom would be in the kitchen, and she'd sing. And she'd sing, heaven, happy home above, heaven, land of peace and love. Oh, it makes me feel like traveling on. Remember a little song like that? And then I remember my mom singing. She'd sing, Lord, oh Lord, oh Lord, I want to go to heaven. Hell is an awful, awful place. And I remember when she'd go through the house, she'd sing, heaven eternal, heaven supernal. Oh, it makes me feel like traveling on. And I never forgot that. And so when I grew up, I knew that there was a heaven. And when I got saved, when I was 18 years old, and then I started reading the Bible, and I found out what heaven is really like. And I'm going to tell you about it this morning. I'm going to tell you where we're going when we leave this world and this life if we're Christians. We're not going because we deserve it. We're going because Jesus paid the price on the cross for our sin. That's why we're going. Somebody said it was like this. What if you saw an ad like this? Here's an ad from the Bible. Free. beautiful homes to be given away in a perfect city. Would you like to live in a beautiful home in a perfect city? 100% pure water, absolutely free. No light bills, no perpetual lighting, permanent pavement on the street forever and ever, never have to be patched, no potholes, no kind of cracks in the road, wrecks, things like that. Nothing undesirable. Everything new, perfect health, immunity from accidents, the best of society, beautiful music, free transportation. Secure a contract today for your reservation for a home in heaven. Well, that sounds too good to be true, don't it? I don't talk about it this morning. First thing I want to say is heaven is a home that's real and permanent. It's real and it's permanent. It's not a figment of our imagination. It's not a state of mind. You know, there's a lot of people that say, well, heaven is a state of mind. If you feel real happy and everything, you're in heaven. If you're real sad, you're in hell. They believe it's a state of mind. That's not true. As a guy told me one time, I said, man, you don't want to go to hell. He said, I'm in hell. And I said, no, you're not either. He said, yes, I am too. I said, no, you're not. See, there's water right over there. You can go over there and get you a drink of water. You're not in hell. This isn't hell and this isn't heaven. This is earth. We're getting ready to go to one. Heaven is not a state of mind. Heaven is not a pipe, opium pipe dream some hippie smoked up and got high one day and thought, man, I was floating out there, man. No, heaven is a place. It's a real place, just like this. You can step on it like that. You can touch it. It's physical. It's visible. It's literal. Heaven is a real place. There's actually three heavens mentioned in the Bible in the third sense. The first one is the atmosphere. When God said, let's create the heavens, plural, and the earth, what he meant was the first heaven is the atmosphere. That's the air right over your head. You can walk out that door right there this morning and see the first heaven. It's where the birds fly. The Bible calls it a firmament. Firmament. And then this firmament, it's between earth and the sky, and it's out there, and you see it every day. Birds fly, trees up there, and you see a few planes and things like that. The second heaven is space. Space starts after our atmosphere quits, and that's why they call it outer space. You see that one at night. When it gets dark, you see stars and planets and things. That's the second heaven. And you see it at night. The first heaven, you see at day. The second heaven, you see at night. The third heaven, you see by faith. And it's in the Bible, and that's the one where God lives, and that's the one that's permanent, and that I've just read to you about in the Bible this morning. There's this little girl one time, she was out looking at the sky, and she was looking around like this, and she says, Mama, heaven sure is beautiful. And she said, oh, honey, that's just, and she said, think about it. We're looking at the wrong side of it. What it must look like on the other side. And she's right. She's right. There's something up there prettier than Disney World, I can tell you that. And we're going to live in a house one day that would make that Biltmore house in Asheville look like somebody's outside toilet. Listen, we're talking about a perfect city and a perfect mansion and a perfect atmosphere with perfect health and perfect fellowship forever and ever and ever. It sounds too good to be true, don't it? But it's permanent. That's what the Bible said. They said one time this guy had a blacksmith shop, and he had this shop where he'd work on, and it said open, and it had an upstairs, and he lived upstairs. And he had an open blacksmith shop, and it said a sign, residence upstairs. Residence upstairs. And that's where this is. This is Shining Light Baptist Church. This is where we work. Our residence is up there somewhere. And it's permanent and it's real. I've heard of it all my life, and one day I will get to see it. Secondly, this morning, heaven is a haven of rest. It's a haven of rest for the weary. In Hebrews chapter number 4 and verse 9, the Bible said there remaineth a rest for the people of God. Those that have labored. I think about my mom. My mom died, went to heaven 4 years ago. She died in 2011, just a little over 4 years ago. My mom worked her whole life. She never knew what it was like to take a day off. I never remember mom going anywhere
without the kids. I never remember mom going anywhere. Ladies' Day out, nothing like that. She wiped and cleaned and scrubbed floors her entire life, 78 years. And you know what? My mom is at rest today. Thank the Lord. There, it is a haven of rest. No heartaches, no heart attacks, no diseases. You'll never sit down in a doctor's office and him say, "I'm sorry, you've got this, you have this disease in your body." Never, ever, ever, not one time. No divorce. There'll never be a broken home or a family all tore up by divorce. Isn't that a blessing? No disasters, no terrible things happening. Buildings falling, airplanes knocking down buildings. No desertions. You'll never be deserted by those that love you. We'll all be there forever and be happy. No death. Nobody ever gets old and die. I got to think about when I see my mom again, she'll be young and radiant and beautiful, and it will be her, but she will be in a glorified body. We cheat ourselves. We can't even imagine how good and how great it's going to be in heaven. Are you listening to me? It's a haven of rest, brother. I'm telling you, I've been to some cities in this world. I've been in New York City. I've been in Los Angeles. I've been down in Hollywood where they have them stars in the streets. And I've been traveling around the biggest cities of the country and drove around in them and met people and talked to people. And you know what they got on them stars? Their name in the sidewalk? Cigarette butts. You know, grime and dirt. Oh, that's the best the world's got to offer. And you know what they've got in New York City? Rats. I mean, everywhere you have to run and find and set traps and hire somebody to come in and kill them. Boy, they're going to win before it's over with, probably. But I mean, listen, I'm talking to you about a city that's cleaner than that thing right there, and no dirt and no death and no disease and nobody gets sick. We're going to live there. We're going to live that. Don't that make our troubles down here seem just a little bit easier? Knowing that this life is just a little while and heaven is forever and ever and ever. It is a haven of rest. Thank the Lord. I heard about this guy, and he was a pastor, and he's telling this story. He said when he was little, they always went to grandma's. He said every now and then we'd take a trip to grandma's. And he said, when I was young, I got deathly car sick. He said about every 20 miles, my parents would have to stop and I'd throw up. He said, I got car sick. Does anybody in here remember when you was younger still get car sick? A bunch of you know what it's like to get car sick. And he said every 20 miles, they had to pull over somewhere. I'd have to get out and throw up. And he said, it was awful. And he said, they got to talking about it. He said, now, son, are you going to try not to get sick? Try not to get sick. And all my family talked about it. And it was embarrassing. And he said, but you know what? He said, when we got to grandma's, he said, we'd sit down there and grandma, she'd wipe me down. And boy, she'd fix big biscuits and we'd go out in her yard and play. And boy, we'd have a big time or what. He said, you know, when I got out there and started playing in grandma's, I forgot all about being sick. And I forgot all about how miserable I was getting there and everything. And that's the way it is down here. I mean, we get sick in this world. If you ain't got sick yet, hold your breath. Your day's coming. I guarantee it. Something awful's going to happen to you. How's that for positive thinking? Something terrible. It happens to everybody. You don't get through this life without bad things happening. And sometimes we think, good night, Lord, why am I having to go through this? But buddy, when we get there, it's going to be so wonderful, and God shall wipe all the tears from our eyes, and we'll forget all about these troubles and burdens and problems that we have down here. Amen. I'm telling you, buddy, my hope ain't in the White House. My hope's up yonder in heaven where the Lord's waiting on it. He's going to fix it. When my dad sent me a text the other day and said, let's try to get this person elected. I don't care who you get elected. You know who we're going to have for president next year? Good. Oh, no, not good. Terrible, more terrible, worse terrible. There's your choices. And terrible and worse. That's it, buddy. I mean, this thing's gone. Our country is gone. As far as morally, religiously, even financially, it's going down. My hope is built up yonder this morning in heaven where thieves can't come through and steal. Moth can't corrupt. Nobody going to come in and steal your money. Nobody going to come in and hurt your family. We'll be there forever and secure. It's a haven of rest, ladies and gentlemen. That's where we're going when we leave this world. That's why we like to go to church all the time. We're getting ready for heaven. We're not a bunch of crazy people trying to just find something to do. We're on a mission. We're going somewhere. We're pilgrims passing through. This ball's not our home. We're just a passing through. Our treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. This morning, it's a haven of rest. Let me say thirdly this morning, you listening? It's a harmony of music. It's a harmony of music. Sweet songs. You never heard such. God is a God of music. God created music. The devil has took it and messed it up. And everything bad in this world is something good twisted. Everything bad, listen to me. Everything bad in this world is something good twisted. Every wicked, evil thing out there is something God made good to start with, and the devil twisted it up and made it into something bad. And that's what he's done with music. But can you imagine the music we're going to hear when we get there, people? Think about it. Think about the music. Now, I'm going to speculate just a little bit. The Bible don't say this. This is just me thinking right now. And I wouldn't doubt it one bit. You do realize when we get to heaven, we're going to have new bodies, we'll have a perfect mind, we'll be in a perfect atmosphere. Our atmosphere down here is not even right. As a matter of fact, you read in your Bible how people used to live to be very old in the Old Testament. Before the flood, Noah, Adam lived to be 900 years. When the flood came, something happened. 4,400 years ago, there was a flood on this earth. That's why them rocks up there in them mountains are all twisted up and going sideways like this. The earth shifted. And it shifted on its axis. Used to be straight, and a year was 360 days. Now it's tilted on its axis, and it's 365 and one-fourth day makes a year. And when that thing happened, the rocks shifted. That's why the rocks look like that. The straight go like that. You think, what in the world made them like? God didn't make them like that to start with. Something happened 4,400 years ago. There was a flood. Now, there are many very well-educated scientists and researchers and preachers that believe the Bible, teach and believe what we call the canopy theory. The canopy theory is that there was, before the flood, from the Garden of Eden to the flood, almost 2,000 years, there was a canopy protecting the earth. The sun sends out rays, gamma rays, beta rays, x-rays, or the harmful rays that can hurt you. And when that canopy was around the earth, like this is the earth, there's a canopy around it, and when the sun's rays hit that, bang, it bounced the other way. And that's why people lived so long and healthier, because oxygen was different. They have found bubbles of oxygen in rocks and in petrified things where it had oxygen bubbles, and they take that oxygen and test it compared to the oxygen we breathe now. Listen to this. The oxygen we breathe now is like 20% pure air. There's 14.7 pounds per square inch at sea level. So the oxygen level pressure at sea level is 14.7 pounds per square inch. And as you go up, it gets thinner. That's why, like in Denver, Colorado, when the Denver Nuggets play and them basketball teams go up there and football teams go to Denver, they say it affects us. The air is so thin, they say we have a hard time breathing. When you get up there, Jeremy, one of our deacons, him and Michelle's out there coming home right now, sent me a picture from Colorado on my phone yesterday morning, and the ground was white with snow and it's 27 degrees. I said, I can have it, man. I can have it. I've had my enough snow. I don't want no snow in May. But anyway, they're up so high, 11,000 feet up. Now, he said the oxygen that we used to have before the flood was over double what this oxygen is now. They tested it, and it's like 30 pounds per square inch. Now, think about that. If the oxygen you breathe is double the pressure, do you know what it would do? They lived to be longer. They didn't get old wrinkled up like we do. You know how far you could run if you had 30 pounds of square inch? Man, you could run from, like it in the Bible. You said run like Jehu and them guys run miles and miles and miles. That little girl down yonder in Texas that fell in that well, little Jessica, I think it was her name, that she fell in that well. And she done like a split, brothers, in there for like two or three days. And when they got her out, her legs were black. The oxygen of the blood had been circulation cut off. And somebody said, we're going to have to amputate her legs. And you know what they did? They took her and they put them in what's called a hyperbaric chamber. These things are getting more and more popular now. Several states have what we call hyperbaric chambers. Some of you medical people probably know a lot more about that than I do. And what it does is you put it in, it's like a tanning bed or something, and you get in there and it fills you with a high pressure oxygen. And they put that little girl in there and left her for a while, and her legs started circulating and they turned back pink. All they had to do is cut off one of her toes and her legs was gone. They said that oxygen rejuvenated her. They said that's why the dinosaurs died. The reason dinosaurs died is because you seen these pictures of these big long dinosaurs about 80 foot long from here at the door over yonder, and their nostrils are the same as a horse. Little bitty nostrils and rib cage for a great big animal that long. When the oxygen levels went down, they couldn't live. And so they died out. Now, ladies and gentlemen, when we get to heaven, think about this. Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden with double oxygen pressure than we got, go, try that, Eve. Wow. Wow. Just think about how good it would feel to breathe. Oh, you know people that COPD or whatever that thing is everybody's got now, they have trouble breathing. Can you imagine what it would be like to have a perfect body and breathe in that oxygen? And brother, put it this way. What if God enhanced all of our senses? Touch, see, feel, hear, smell. Right? What if the world is cursed right now because of sin and we're way lower than what God gave Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden? I believe that, don't you?
Yes, sir.
We're way lower than what Adam and Eve had.
Amen.
Listen, people, the most healthy person in the world don't feel like Adam and Eve felt. There ain't no drug in the world make you feel as good as they felt. Now think about this. Here's Adam and Eve breathing. It might be, and I say might, and I think it probably will, when we get to heaven, it won't be just one of our senses. For example, I can feel heat. I can't see heat. You say, you can see the... No, not that ain't heat. You can't see the heat. You can see the waves. You can't taste heat. You listening? You can't taste heat. I can hear music. I cannot smell music. I can smell some of them people with it, but I can't smell music. Music don't have a smell. It has a sound. Now, what if when we get to heaven, we can smell musical notes? And we go, somebody goes up, ring on the harp, we can say, oh my goodness. You can hear it and smell it. You say, you're crazy. No, that's what Adam and Eve could do. I thought about this guy. Can you imagine guys walking around, stick his headphones up in his nose, he's jamming out, man, smelling that music. or you could taste it. Maybe you could taste it. I don't know. Maybe you could taste me. I don't know, man. Wouldn't that be cool if we could taste music? So I say, play something on your harp, David. Oh, my goodness, man. What if you could hear a steak? What if you could hear a steak? I can smell a steak. I can touch a steak. I can taste a steak, but I can't hear a steak. Boy, I hear that steak. It tastes and hears good. All of our senses will be enhanced big time. Think about it. It's a harmony of music. Lord have mercy. The plan. And that's why people say, well, what are we going to do up there in heaven? You have no imagination, brother. Listen, God, there's no such thing as boredom. It'd be like plugged into 220, man. Forever and ever and ever and ever. You'll never get bored. I know some people's idea of heaven. I've even had people tell me, they say, preacher, I don't mean to sound disrespectful, but what are we going to do up there forever? They think I'm going to have a little cloud and you're going to have a little cloud and I'm going to, like a marshmallow, and I'm going to sit on mine and play this harp and we're like ghosts, you know, we see each other like they do on TV and we're all spaced out and I'm going to go bring, bring, and when you pass by, I'll go, That's the stupidest idea of heaven I ever seen in my life. That ain't heaven. That's somebody on crystal meth or something. Listen, that ain't heaven, brother. That ain't heaven. Listen, people. Listen to me. God will give us perfect peace and perfect joy and perfect happiness forever and ever and ever and ever. And I'm telling you, He's got an imagination. He'll make it work. All that. Number four, it's a habitation with God. It's a habitation with God. Old Fanny Crosby, that great hymn writer from New York, she was blind all of her life. She wrote some of the greatest hymns in the book. And in 1891, she heard a preacher preach. And this preacher preached, and a few days later, he died. And Fanny Crosby, she said, my goodness, I just heard that guy preach the other day, and now he's dead. She said, I wonder what he thought when he got to heaven. And she began to wonder, how's it going to feel when we first see the Lord, when we first get to heaven? And she wrote that song, I Shall See Him Face to Face, and sing the story, Saved by Grace. And she wrote that famous hymn. Little girl one time, they said she used to have to go through a cemetery. And she had to go through a cemetery every evening after school. And somebody said, ain't you scared, honey? She's just about 11, 12 years old. Said, ain't you scared to go through that cemetery? And she said, oh no, my house, I just live right on the other side of it. I just live right on the other side, and I'm not scared. Well, I heard that story, and I thought, you know what? We don't have to be scared of that cemetery. Our house is just right on the other side. Whew. Now, as you get older, that's going to mean something to you. We don't have to be scared of the cemetery. Our house is just right on the other side. Whew. Lord have mercy. Think about that. A mansion with your name on it. Number five, you know what heaven will be? A completion of knowledge. As the Bible says, now we see through a glass. It's like you're looking through tinted windows now. What I'm telling you this morning, you're looking through very, very dark tinted windows. Then you'll see it face to face. I mean, brother, I don't know. We'll know everything. God, sometimes I think the Lord's going to set us down. I don't know this either for a fact, but I think He's going to set us down and show us a video, and we're going to see creation. And He's going to say, in the beginning, bang, and there was the world being created. And in the beginning, bang, and there was the sun, the moon, the stars. And we'll see Adam and Eve and the fall and Satan moving through history and wars and famines and Hitler and all the persecution against the Jews and all of world history and world leaders and everything. And we'll say, oh my goodness, well, I have no idea. I know. And we'll have perfect knowledge when we get to heaven. You'll know as you're known. Can I say something to you this morning? You're going to know what everything God wants us to know. We'll have the mind of Christ when we get to heaven. We won't be dumb like we are now. You'll understand it, why somebody died. People all the time say, why did my brother die? Why did my kid, why did this happen? I know a good person and they got cancer. I know a person this and they had a heart attack. You'll know then. We don't know now, but we'll know then. And we'll say, oh Lord, I get it. I got it. Every once in a while, people come up and ask me, and they'll say, good, mean, well-meaning people, and I don't mean to laugh about it, but people come up to me sometime and they'll say, preacher, can I ask you a question? And I say, yeah, and they said, my mother died. My mother died last week, and she was a good Christian, and I know my mother went to heaven. And I say, yeah, I'm sorry to hear that. And then they say, can I ask you a question? Yes, you can ask me a question. Do you think when I get to heaven that I'll know my mother? And I always answer the same question the same way. My answer is, do you honestly think we'll be dumber in heaven than we are here? I hope not, don't you? Of course you'll know your mother. You know her here, don't you? As a matter of fact, we'll know everybody else up there. When Abraham and Moses and Elijah come down on the Mount of Transfiguration, the disciples were there, and they knew who they was, just like that. You know, if Abraham walked through that door right now, after we come to, we'd know who it was. The Lord would tell us who it is. And listen, and you hear me? You'll have perfect knowledge. You'll automatically know where Jesus is. You'll have the mind of God. Perfect knowledge. You'll understand why little babies were born deformed. You'll understand why there was war and famine and hate and why terrible things happened. We don't understand it. Now, that's why they say earth is the place for trust. Heaven's the place for understanding. You don't understand it now. We trust him. I trust that he knows what he's doing. I trust that he knows what he's up to, and we'll understand it better when we get there. Thank the Lord.
Amen.
Not only that, it's a happy reunion. It's a happy reunion. I'll see my mom. I'll see my daddy. I'll see my sister who died with cancer, just turned 40 years of age, my oldest sister, Sandy. And I saw her suffer and suffer and suffer. And my sister, she got saved right after I did, and she played the piano, she played the guitar, she led a choir, she wrote songs, she could draw, dance, write, do it. You name it, she could do it. And I'm telling you, she, at 36, they said she had cancer. And two young boys are her sons, Wes and Wade, my nephews. And my mom went over there to treatments in Asheville with her, and she took chemo and radiation and all that stuff. And finally they told her, they said, now you're 38 years old now. They said, if it don't come back in a couple of years, you're cancer free. And before she was 40, it came back. And my mom took her over the mountains in Asheville many, many times, folks. Mom took her across that mountain over yonder, and Sandy'd be screaming in the car, waiting for them to shoot that morphine in her to kill that pain. And one day she was laying there, and she was screaming, and she said, Mom, I hope I don't ever have to go through this again. Mom said, you won't, honey. You won't. And I've got the promise of God to you this morning. When I see my sister again, she won't be swiveled up. She's laying there in the bed like that, and Daddy'd take a popsicle and rub it on her lips, trying to get her to eat something. And she could, and she just wet her lips with a popsicle. I'm talking for days. She suffered for a year and a half. You know the feeling you get when you're nauseous? A year like that. We'll be a reunion. I'll say, hey, Sandy. She said, Danny, he let me watch you once in a while. Is that the best you could do? And I said, I tried. And we'll shout the victory forever. Lastly, I'm saying this and I'm through. It's a hope secured. We're going. Now here's how long you're going to be in heaven. Let's imagine that right there is your life. We'll put it over here against that wall. Let's say you live to be 80. Most of you will never make it. But let's just say you live to be 80. 90. 100. So everybody in here live to be 100. There's your 100 years. Then you die. 1,000. 1,000,000. Another million. Another million. Another million. Another million. Another million. Another million. Times 10 million. Times 10 million. Times 10 million. Now that way over yonder was your life. 100 years. And then here's millions of years later. You see what I'm saying? We get all thinking, what's down here, make a living, make money, have this, have that, have this. Nothing wrong with making a living and making money. But I'm telling you, you better get your eyes on what's coming after this. Because you're going to be there a whole lot longer than we're here. We're not here long. Some of y'all are looking pretty old. The truth is, we're all going, ain't we? Man, you can try. I know them. These young girls, they just got that smooth, pretty little skin, their little cheeks red. Man, the older you get it, don't do that, does it, girls? You have to start messing and working more. Lord, you have to get you a trowel after a while. Fill in them ditches. And I mean, you know what? You're getting old, people. We all are. Don't you make fun of me for being old. We're all going the same. Some of us just started before others. We're all moving at the same speed. And your life is that much. That's why I encourage bus workers, Sunday school teachers. That's why the Bible said, set not your affection on things below, but on things above. Because we're going to be there a lot longer than we are here. Don't feel sorry for yourself. If you're a Christian, lift up your voice and sing, shout, buddy. If you're not a Christian, I'll tell you how to get saved, and I'm through. You know how you can go to heaven? You really want to go to this place I'm talking about? I'll tell you how to do it. Right there. 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ let them beat nails through his hands and through his feet. And he paid the price for your sins. It's like you owed God for every sin you've ever committed, right? you owe God. Every time you cussed, every time you've lied, every time you've thought something, done something, said something, even thought it, God writes it down. Sin, 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 sin. Thousands and thousands of them. Jesus Christ went to the cross and paid for your sins. He died. He rose again. Right now you can come and say, Lord, I'm a sinner. I can't make it myself. I'm not good enough. I want Christ in my heart. Come into my heart and save me. The Bible said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's how I'm going to heaven. Church don't save you. There ain't no church can save you. There ain't no preacher can save you. Only Jesus Christ can save you. Now, everybody in here going to heaven or hell, people? You say, I don't believe in hell. That don't stop you from going. That don't change it one bit. That don't change it one bit. God so loved the world, He gave His Son so that you could go to heaven. Since childhood, I've heard. And I'm really going to go one of these days. And you don't have to feel sorry for me. When I'm gone, brother, I'll be there forever and ever and ever with the Lord. And so will you. Let's stand together. The heads bowed, please. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Coming to get us a song. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed this morning. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. No one's moving. Nobody's talking. I want to ask you a question right now. If you died today, would you go to heaven? You say, preacher, I don't know. I have not the foggiest idea. Well, you can know through the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Some come to this altar. You don't even have to come to the altar. You can pray right there where you're standing right now. And just say, dear Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. And I'm sorry for my sins. Right now, the best way I know how, I'm asking Jesus to come into my heart and be my Savior. I don't want to go to hell. I want to go to heaven. Settle it this morning. Settle that issue. Settle it once and for all in prayer. Ain't nothing to be ashamed of. Be a man. Be a man. Be a woman. Something's coming this morning. If you need to come, get around this altar and pray. You come on right now. Maybe you have a loved one that's not saved. You want to come and pray for them. I don't know. But right there where you stand, say, Jesus, come into my heart. Heavenly Father, do what ought to be done right now. Open hearts like you did in the Bible. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Just as I am with that one plea.
You can be saved right here this morning. Amen. That's right. Come on this morning. Come on right now. You can go to heaven. You can go to heaven. You want to go to heaven? Jesus paid it all so that you could be saved. Good news. Good news. Good news. Good news. Let's sing. Let's sing. Everybody.
Just as
sing
to rid my soul.
You got your heart right this morning? Got your heart right? Everything right? If you died today, you sure you go to heaven? Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Each spot, oh Lamb of God, I come. There's one thing for sure. We're all going to die. The Bible said it's appointed a man once to die. You don't